St. Paul in today's epistle references the going out of the Israelites from Egypt and all the miracles that were worked for them. So he says they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. That is, they passed through the Red Sea, miraculously opened for them by Almighty God, and they were led by a cloud at day and a pillar of fire at night. And they ate the spiritual food. God provided for them each day the manna from heaven. Each day the food that they need fell like dew from heaven. And they drank from the spiritual rock. Moses was instructed to strike the rock, and from it flowed water to give them to drink in the desert. And St. Paul is pointing out and emphasizing that they saw all these things. All of them saw these miracles with their eyes. They walked through the Red Sea on either side of them. They saw the Egyptians conquered. They saw the 10 plagues. They had all this visceral evidence for themselves. And yet he says, with most of them, God was not well pleased. And he's emphasizing the fact that we must put the effort in to obtain salvation. We must run, as he says, so that we may obtain the crown. And we pursue the crown of eternal life, the perfect joy of heaven, the possession of God. What is it for something to be perfect? We speak of that perfect joy of heaven. What does it mean if something is perfect? Something is perfect when it fulfills all its potential, or when it's complete, when it's whole, when it has everything it should have. We think of a perfect picture that has clarity, that has perspective, that has proper lighting. Or again, we think of a perfect day. It has just enough warmth, it has sunlight, it has a breeze, unless maybe you're a person who likes a rainy day instead. But something is perfect when it has all the aspects that it should have. And we run so as to obtain the crown. We pursue that perfection in heaven, where we will be perfectly complete. All of our potential will be fulfilled. And we will experience continual and unending joy in the possession of God. A joy without measure and a joy without end. And that is what makes a perfect man. That is what perfection of a human being is. The everlasting possession of God and a joy, like St. Paul says, that cannot even be imagined. But our Lord said to us, be you perfect as also your heavenly Father is perfect. And as Christians, we have an obligation to pursue perfection even in this world. Now, we cannot have that perfection that we will have in heaven here. So what does it mean to pursue perfection in this life? What is Christian perfection? The science of the saints, as it is called. To be perfect in this world, to properly pursue perfection, means that we strive always to the best of our ability to come closest to that heavenly perfection as we can. To possess God as much as we can, to be as perfectly united to him as we can. We fulfill our potential. And as life goes, if we do that, if we fulfill that spiritual potential, God gives us an increase so that we can become yet holier. Now, what does that mean? What is it to come close to God in this life? It is to live to its fullest the life of grace. Christ didn't come just to tell people they should be good, or just to try to inspire people to live a better life. He actually came to give a new life. We have, by baptism, the life of grace in our souls. It is something we did not have before our baptism. We have, by God's grace, his life in our soul. It's something that before we received his grace, we did not have. And so we possess truly a new life, is lived through faith, hope, and charity. And perfection consists mostly in the love of God. Why? Because nothing unites us to something else so much as love. And so the love of God unites us as close to Him as we can be in this world. And so it brings us as close to heaven as we can come. Now, how do we live the life of grace to its fullest? Well, there's many aspects, as we speak about every Sunday, really. Most importantly, the sacraments, which give us an increase of that grace. But we also have the various devotions and practices of a pious Christian life. The rosary, our daily prayers, good reading, all of these things contribute to the growth of grace and the living of the life of grace. I want to talk more particularly today about one devotion, and that is the devotion of total consecration to Our Lady, as was taught by St. Louis de Montfort. This is often called true devotion to Mary, from the title of his book. Now, it's not the only kind of true devotion to Our Lady, but it is the best devotion, and it is unique in how complete it is. Imagine to yourself a blacksmith back in the age of castles and knights and queens and ladies, catapults and horses. And this blacksmith lives in a kingdom where there's a very good king, a very just king, a very wise king, a very worthy man, worthy of being served, a man who's worthwhile to work for. And this blacksmith decides he wants to dedicate his life to the service of this king. And so he looks about him to see, how can I best do that? I could enter the military, I could enter the civil service, apply my trade there, start my own business. He looks at all his options. And he sees that there's no opening to enter in the service of the queen, to be the blacksmith in her household. And he says to himself, who better would know the king than his queen? Who better would know what he likes? Who better would know how to please him than his queen? Who would be closer to him? Whom does he love more? And it's a similar thing with devotion to Our Lady. We enter into the service of Mary because she knows our Lord best of all people. In practice, total consecration to Our Lady means that we give our whole selves to her in order to belong to God, so that we no longer view it as our right to just do what we want, but rather to do what she would have us do. We give to her all our internal and external goods, all our possessions, our very life. Everything we do for God, every good thing we do, has a value in God's sight, a value to make up for sin, a value to obtain God's blessings. It's one of the most precious things we have. We can apply that to whom we want. When we say a prayer or we make a sacrifice, we can offer it for this person or that person. But we give even this to Mary in the total consecration. Sometimes this can be difficult for people to understand. I know people who have read the book, and actually it took me years before I grasped it, before I came to appreciate it. It can seem superfluous, or like, why do we need one more step between us and God? But in point of fact, it pretty much is a complete, perfect renewal of the baptismal vows under the patronage of Our Lady. It's complete self-sacrifice. God, or the devil, brought sin into the world through the pride of Eve. It's no surprise that God would bring grace into the world through the humility of Mary. And just like he humbled the devil by conquering him with a humble woman, so to this day, God delights to bless those who are devoted to Mary. She is his masterpiece, as it were. And if we have trouble to grasp it or to appreciate it, as many saints and popes did, for this is well approved by the church, Then ask Our Lady to obtain for you the wisdom to appreciate this devotion, and she will be happy to oblige. How does one go about making this act of total consecration? It is something important, so it shouldn't be done without knowledge and without preparation. So if you haven't, or it's been a long time, it'd be well to read the book True Devotion. We have copies in the library that can be borrowed. And then there's a period of preparation. If someone has read the book and is ready to make the act of total consecration, there's about a month of preparation St. Louis lays out. And we have books coming next week that have that all laid out for each day. They'll be here next Sunday. And then you have the actual act of consecration. So we'll be doing that for those who wish on March 25th, the Feast of the Annunciation, which means that the preparation begins next Sunday. It's 33 days long. So there are many devotions in the church. Some appeal to one, some appeal to another. But this is one of the best. If a person lives this devotion really and fully, they will become a saint. St. Louis de Montfort, who was the main promoter of this devotion, though it has its roots far back in church history, described this as a short and easy way to sanctity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.